Believing in God and believing in Jesus and the Bible is part of who we are. But isn't it something to know that you see that people have been sharing the gospel for a long time, and there are reasons why people that just don't believe in the Bible, Jesus, or God. There are many reasons that I've heard, and I want to share a couple of these reasons, what I've heard throughout my life. And one of those reasons is I've heard people tell me that say, listen, I can't believe that God had flooded the earth and put a man in a boat and saved only him. I've also heard that I just can't believe because I can't believe in a talking donkey. If you listen to cats, sometimes they do sound like they talk. I've also heard that I can't believe in a man that had been swallowed up by a fish for 3 days and then lived. I can't believe in God because I can't believe that God allowed a man with long hair to have superhuman strength and power. I can't believe that God created the earth. That's a big one. We've all heard that one. I cannot believe that God created everything. I can't believe that God created man. I believe in evolution of some sort, and this cannot believe that God created a man. And really, if the more you look into science, the more you cannot believe that there was a creator. The more you dig into it. Yeah. I've even heard, I can't believe that a man walked on the water. There's no way. I don't believe in the Bible because it was written by, they say it's written by so many people, and it looks like it has, it contradicts itself. I can't believe in God. I can't believe in the Bible. I can't believe in those things because I can't believe that if there is a God, he would send me to a bad place. Others would say they can't believe in God or Jesus because they say, I don't believe in a hell. I don't believe in a place of torment. Another one is I can't believe that a man would come and die on a cross and be buried and come back to life 3 days later. Those are all reasons I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard more than others. But there is a reason that goes beyond all the other reasons that I've heard more than all of them. I can't believe in God or the Bible or Jesus because I just can't believe that a virgin can give birth to a baby. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible for a woman who has not been intimate or is a virgin to have a baby. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to go here, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to see some things here that we see about this whole thing called faith. We have a faith system. We have a faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that these three remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. But here it is. It's these three remain. What is it? Faith. You can't get started unless you have some faith. Amen? You cannot get started in your walk with the Lord until you have some faith. You have to have some faith to get it started. And we see here, this is the time before Jesus was born. We see that this angel is going to visit Mary. And we see a piece here, a conversation that is going to happen. In Luke chapter 1, that's where I'm going to go today. We're going to start in verse 30. But Father, Lord, we just ask, Lord, for your presence here today, that I pray that the word would sink into our hearts and our minds and our soul and spirit today, that we may grow in our faith with you, that we may walk better, and we may grow in your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we see a piece here now in chapter 1 and verse 30. We're going to see there's a conversation that an angel comes and visits Mary. Now, we pick it up in verse 30. It says, then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God, that means what it is? You have been found with favor. Listen, it's not that God shows favoritism, but you can't have favor. When you do the things that God calls you and you're living the life that God's called you to live, doesn't mean you're perfect. But I want to tell you, God can give you favor. Favor is another word for favor is blessings. And so here it is. God is blessing. He's going to bless Mary. And basically what it is it says this, that the Lord told her, he says, you've been found favor with God. So basically, another word of saying is that God has been watching Mary's life. And God is watching your life just as much as he is watching mine. He says, now listen, in verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And then he says in verse 34, Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man? She's asking a question. It's a legit question. This is not a question of, I don't believe, but it's how is it going to happen? And this is, and the angel confirms how it's going to be done. And verse 35, the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High and will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. God is very creative, isn't he? We serve a God who is creative. And this is how he's going to do it. And this is how he does it. But I also want to say that Mary asked and said, how is this going to be done? This was not a question of her faith. This was a question like, how are we going to do it? I want to go back for just a second. I want to give you a side note. It's still in chapter 1. I'm going to give you a side note. What happened? Because this angel, despite the Bible gives us, this angel's name is Gabriel. And Gabriel also went to speak to a guy named Zechariah, who is a priest. And then he is chosen to go back and do some things and to the Holy Holy, do these things. And the angel is going to be there and meet him there. I want to pick this up. I want to share something with you in verse 18, just really quick. The angel standing in front of Zechariah. And he says this, how can I know this? Zechariah asked the angel, for I am old and my wife is well along the years. The angel says, you and your wife, you're going to have a son. God's going to use him. And God is going to give you an answer to your prayers. They've been praying for a baby all those years. Might even gave up at this time because they are old and well in their years. And this angel says, he comes and says this thing that you're going to have a child. And he says, how is this going to be done? How can I know this? And the angel said in verse 19, the angel answered him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I want to tell you that is, he is, what he is saying there, he goes, I am Gabriel. I stand in front of the presence of God. I'm telling you what, that is a stance right there. I mean, in the presence of God. That really, right now we sit and we listen to what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, if we get that part there, we would all shudder. We would probably all fall on our knees. Even if we've never been on our knees before, to be in the presence of God, we'd be on our knees in a heartbeat, in a moment. And I'm going to tell you, that's whether you're a believer or not a believer. But he says, one stands in the presence of God. You know what I like about that? He says, who stands. This is his normal routine. Gabriel seems like he always seems to be in the presence of God. In front of God. Wow, that's amazing. And he has been sent to give some messages. And Zechariah is one of those messages he is bringing too. And he said, I was sent to speak to you. Can you imagine God says, I have an angel and I want you to go speak to that person right there. You know what that angel is going to do? Exactly what God told him to do. And he's coming down and he's going to speak to a mortal man who is broken. We are all broken, sinful. But he's a believer. And God has a message for him. I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to give you a child. It's going to be important. He goes, I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. That's good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. There's a little scolding there. He says, Zechariah, because you didn't believe, you ain't going to be able to talk until this baby is born. Well, I thought God was all loving. I thought God, yes, God is loving. But also God disciplines those whom he loves. You know why this happened? It didn't happen to Mary. She asked, how could this be? Zechariah said, how could this be? Well, there's a difference. Mary was like, how can this be? Not that I don't believe you can't do anything, but how is this going to happen? Zechariah knew better. You know why? Because Zechariah knows the scriptures. There were five women in the Old Scripture, on the Old Testament, that were barren, that God sealed up their womb. They were not having children. God came and told them, and told them through the prophets, told them that God would open up their womb, and they've had children in their late, and most of them were in their late ages. Some of them weren't, but most of them were. He knew better. He knew he should have believed. He was a priest. He should have believed, but he did not believe. So now his mouth is going to be closed up for this time. So I just want to share that with you because it's a side note. And it's a very important note. Same angel, same kind of faith. These families are related. They both got received the message. Both are going to have babies. One's faith is stronger than the other. But God still worked with both. Because when Zechariah had their baby, they named him John. And that's the name to be. And they celebrate. What I love about it, if you get into the story where Zechariah and they have Elizabeth has the baby and all that, nobody goes back and chastises. Nobody brings back the John. Nobody brings back what happened to John or what happened to Zechariah. Everybody celebrates with the birth of this baby. And so what we see is we come back to here to we come back to this piece with Mary back in 36. Now verse 36 says, and the angel says, and consider your relative Elizabeth, that's Zechariah's wife. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. So the angel Gabriel is saying, listen, consider your relative Elizabeth. She's pregnant right now. Now, it doesn't tell us, but we should know that Mary knows that, what? Elizabeth, she's older in age. There's no way. But she doesn't question that. She doesn't question that at all. And the angel ends this kind of conversation here with a very strong piece. He says, for nothing will be impossible with God. In verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. And that's my question to you. Don't tell me you think nothing's impossible for God, because there's things in our life that when we walked in our path of life, we walked and we found that there were things we didn't think God would do. We didn't think God could handle it. We didn't think God can move something in our life. But the angel says, for nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And verse 38, it says, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. Mary just took it all in. She wasn't questioning anything. She just said, the only question she said, well, how is this going to happen? Not if it was going to, but how is it going to happen? I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left. She took it in. It was great. And then she goes on and she visits Elizabeth and she stays for the 3 months. And we know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but we can figure it out. Pretty much, we're pretty sure that Mary stayed until John was born, because she stayed there 3 months. And so we see that piece there. But what does that all mean, really? What does all that mean, really, to us? I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 17. The thing that we struggle with as believers is we struggle with our faith. We struggle with our faith. Oh, we can tell other people God will help you. God will be with you. And he is. And we're speaking truth. But when it comes to our situations, when we're standing at the crossroads, we struggle believing in what God can do for us. Yeah. In chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, we see that the disciples are trying to cast out a demon and they just can't do it. They just can't do it. They're struggling. They got a crowd around them. A lot of pressure, a lot of crowd pressure, people saying things. It's a lot of busyness happening. Conversation over here, people hooing over here, people saying, come on, let's go over here. And this man brings this boy and he has a demon in him. And here's the thing, if I could stop just for a moment and say, listen, there are people even in our church here that don't believe in demons and angels. And you wonder why your faith is so weak. It's so funny to me, and I try to figure it out. There are so many people that believe either demons are not real, or demons were then, but they're not today. Yet, if you read the Gospels, it's filled, Jesus confronted him on a continuous basis. On a continuous basis. And they struggled. And they just couldn't do it. And when something doesn't happen, we get flustered in our faith really quick. And we're wondering if we're doing it right. We're not doing it right. What do we do? Did I miss something? What should I have done? Did I do it wrong? I didn't plan on reading this, but I'm going to read this really quick. In 17 verse 14, it says, "When they approached the crowd, a man approached and knelt down before him. Lord," he's talking to Jesus, "he said, have mercy on my son because he has seizures and suffers terribly. And he often falls into fire and often into the water." I've had people tell me, "Jimmy, that's epilepsy." Okay. All right, let's agree that this could be part of epilepsy. Let's just agree with that. "I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." There's the word heal. Could not heal him. Okay? Couldn't heal him. Because, okay, this seems like this is a moment where they need to be healed. This child that need to be healed. And Jesus replied this, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." It sounds hard. Jesus is being hard, isn't he? It sounds like he's being hard. But sometimes it's okay if Jesus is hard with us. We need a wake-up call sometimes. Sometimes we need to be pushed. Sometimes we need to be pushed. And then Jesus rebuked the demon. What? I thought he just needed healing. I'm going to reach out for a minute. Me and Carla were just having a conversation a little bit this morning on the way in. Society wants to put a mental tag on everything that we're going through. Everybody, you got a mental problem, you got a mental, let's just diagnose everything with a mental title. A mental title. Because we feel that everything that is, if you got something wrong with you, it's something that's in a mental title and we tag it, mental. Kind of what was happening here. But Jesus says, nope, he rebukes the demon. We don't want to believe in demons. We need to believe in them, not be fearful, but we need to believe that there's more going on in this world than what we see. There's more going on in this world than what we know. And we need to follow the words of the Lord, and we need to listen and pay close attention. He rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and from that moment, the boy was healed. Now, can you have two things at the same time? Yes, some people can have something going on with them physically, mentally, but also spiritually, and also we see here there is a demon. This was a hot mess. This boy was a hot mess. But Jesus says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation." And then the disciples approached Jesus privately. They came over here and they pulled Jesus when they got him off to the side and says, "Why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we drive it out?" And this is our key verse for the whole day. Verse 20. And he answers it. I love it when the disciples ask questions because Jesus loves to give answers. And sometimes the answers in your scriptures are that long. Or sometimes it's a parable. But here he gives a straight out truth. He gives a straight out in two verses. Verse 20. He says, "Because of your little faith," he told them. "For truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, nothing will be impossible for you." Let's look at that. So he says, because of your little faith. Because of your little faith. What he's saying is, you have faith. You have faith. You got a little bit. Because you have little faith. And what he's saying is it needs to grow. Now how many here know our faith needs to grow? I know my faith needs to grow. It needs to continue to grow. And he says, listen, "For I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move from here to there." Now, I can say this. We can move mountains today. Did you know that? We can take bulldozers and we can take this pile of dirt, we can pick it up and we can put it over here. Jesus used this metaphor, the mountain, it's big, it's got to be big, it's something that's impossible. They didn't have front loaders back then. But see, today we've gotten so sophisticated in our thinking, in our lifestyles, and how we think and process everything, we're almost to the point now that we don't even think we need Jesus in the service, listen to me, but we need good music, we need a good speaker to tell us how to do life, but we don't need to put Jesus, just put a cross on the front, and we're just going to do life differently because we know better. And then Jesus begins to slip out. And that's what a lot is happening right now. We're talking about how to do life better, how to have family, all those are good things, but you can, if you do that without Christ, you're doing it without Christ. You're just fluffing up the way the world does things. And people try to put it in the church. There was something here that I cannot spill these, because if I spill them, I'm going to be, Chris is not going to like it. I can't even see them. He said, check this out. He said, if I have the size of a mustard seed, you see that? You can't even see it, really. It's so small. It's so small. It is so small. And you can't really see it. And he's saying, if you got that, right? The thing is, what happens is what happened to me right up there. We end up dropping it. If I have that and I say, okay, this is the size of my faith right here. Jesus says, you can move a mountain over there. Kind of thinks maybe I think I got more faith than I think I got. And when this thing is planted, guess what it does? In Israel, they go up to about 10 feet. That tree, I think, is an 8-footer or a 10-footer. It might be a 10-footer. Could you imagine something that tall comes from something this small? I can't even see it, really. I got about 20 of them. And then I started thinking, what about a church? Then I started thinking about, what about a city? This has several thousand mustard seeds in it. If the city had this much faith, just much as in this jar, we'd be a whole lot better. I sit there and I look at that. And I have to look at my own faith. Now I have to look at the faith of the church. And I think, okay, how do we start? We start with a small piece, one little seed, and it grows. And I started thinking, just a little bit of faith. It started way back when. Just a little bit of faith saying, Jimmy, I called you to preach. And I fought that, and I didn't want it, but I took it, and I went and took a step forward and did it. And the faith began to grow. We started a new life in a small house. Scott and Deb's house. Three couples. Faith grew a little bit. We ended up on State Street. Upstairs. Our first service. 30 people. Faith grew a little bit. But you know what I kept having? People say, this is not going to work. You're going to fail. Your wife ain't no preacher's wife. You ain't no preacher. You're going to do it. You know, I listened to all them negative words. Got to have a little bit of faith. We're 23 years in now. In 23 years, God has given us 7 buildings. Handful of ministries. Now listen. Listen to me. I don't have a seminary degree. I've taken some classes, but I don't have a seminary degree. There's a bunch of guys out here that's got seminary degrees. I love them. Some of them are doctors. Some of them's got 8 years Some of them have 8 years. That's between them and God, whatever. A little bit of faith. He says, the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Basically, he's saying there's nothing in front of you that you can't do. There's nothing in front of you that can stop you. If God calls you to it and God's involved with it, there's nothing that you cannot do. Now, there's been times when our faith has been challenged, and my faith has been challenged. Because I know the Scripture says my faith will be tested from time to time. My faith will be tested. And it'll be tested in areas that it will be hard. It'll be tested in areas where sometimes it feels like it's going to be your weakest, but also it could be in your strongest area. So if I have the faith, you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can make mountains move. This is not something to brag about. It's not something to boast about. But it is truth. It makes you a dangerous person in the world where Satan is the prince of the air. That makes you a dangerous person. Because you're the light of the world. You're expressing to be lights of the world, to share the gospel. And if you can key in on your faith and you believe that God can do all things, there's nothing impossible for Him, that makes you begin to understand what God has really given to you and the power of God that He works through and He does. And that He does still send angels and He does still do miracles in lives because we believe that He does all those things because you have a faith that He still heals. You have a faith that He still can cast out demons. You have a faith that He can still do all things for His glory. Nothing will be impossible for you. What does the Scripture say? He says you'll move it from here to there. But what does it say at the very end? Nothing will be impossible for you. Why do we not ever talk about that? Why do we not ever talk about that? I have a life to live. You have a life to live. You live it for the glory of God. You find out that you begin to understand your salvation. You begin to walk in your salvation. You begin to grow. You begin to understand. I don't need to hear the music that I always like to hear. I don't need my preferences. I need to be in the will of God, be where God wants me to be, so I can do and finish and run my race the way that He wants me to run it and the way He wants me to finish it. I may have preferences. I may like have the things I like better than other things, but I'm not going to let those things trump the things that I know that God's involved in. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And God's going to do some great things in your life when you have faith in who He is. God just didn't save you to leave you here to do nothing. God saved you for your own self, for His self, for His glory, but also that He might use you for the growth of the kingdom and in helping and serve in the kingdom of God. So not only can an individual move mountains, but also a church can do the same thing. That we bring in all the mustard seed faith together that we might grow into something very large instead of having something so small. We grow in our faith. From the very beginning, when we begin to talk about these ministries, the naysayers are not here. The ones that didn't have faith are not here. And if they didn't have quite as much faith, they grew as they continue to see. Some people's faith are at different levels. But we pray and ask for an increase in our faith that we may grow and be a part of those awesome things. We don't want to just be spectators. We want to be into it. We want to be part of it. We need to be doing those things. So nothing be impossible for you. That fires me up. That says, hey, what can we do? Money is not the obstacle. Money is not the obstacle. The obstacle is us. The obstacle is our lack of faith. The obstacle is our own lack of faith in believing what God has called us to do. And God has been creating even more and opening more doors with the new life center, the life center across the street. That's coming to fold. That's going to happen. And if you leave the church, let me tell you, it's going to happen. It doesn't go on what you think. It doesn't go on your attendance. It goes what He wants. A group of people are doing it, and it will happen. Amen? Now I'll tell you, if I was going to a church and looking for a church today, number one, it needs to be biblical. It needs to be preached. It needs to be a biblical sound church, number one. It also needs to be a loving church, which our church needs to work on that. Our hospitality needs to get better. But it also needs to, and the gospel has to be, that's part of the first part. But it also has to have a vision. I don't even know where it's going. Where it's going, because God just doesn't let it sit. Where is it going? If we were on an island of 20 people and 19 people were going to church, we'd be looking for number 20, wouldn't we? We'd be praying that God would soften the heart of that number 20. And we would do that. I'm telling you, that's what looking for a vision. This church has vision. It is on mission. It messes up all the time. I don't know. I don't always make the best decision sometimes. Sometimes I take a left when I should take a right. But I want to tell you, I do all these things and I'm human. I'm still going to mess up. But I'm going to tell you, I always put God in all the things that we do. Because I know we can't do a one without Him. And we need to have Him a part of everything we do because this is His. He created it out of nothing. Out of nothing. This church has never been wealthy. This church has never been highly educated. This church is not a pedigree, is not a blue chip, which means it comes from another big church, a big church that just planted all kinds of money into it and planted all kinds of experienced people in it. This is a mixed-shaped group. But God loves it. And God doesn't always have to tell you He loves something. He shows by continuing to bless. And you feel the peace in your spirit. And you feel and you know that you're on the right path because God is doing the things that He wants to do through you. Oh, you'll know it when God gets upset. You'll know when God is angry with yourself or in the church. Blessings begin to dry up. Your plans begin to fall apart. Sometimes your health ends up going south. Yeah. And you find that you don't have the peace of God like you did before. And you start making really bad decisions because you're not leaning on God. You'll know when God's upset with you. But you also should know when God is okay with you and good with you. God is always watching us. I want to share something in the book of Mark, just really quick. Mark chapter 11, 23. Jesus says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believed that what he says will happen, Jesus says, it will be done with him. Luke 17 says this in verse 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. That's a really complete opposite. Be planted in the sea. That doesn't make sense. But you know what? God's saying, whatever it is fine. God can do all things. In 1 John 5:4 it says this, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world. Our faith. Let me read that one more time. Because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. We need to stop thinking that we're defeated. Come on now. We're not defeated people. We're conquerors of the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world. What is the victory? And it says our faith. Our faith in what? The world? No. Our faith in people? No. Our faith in money and the systems and all those things? No. In our military? No. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in God the Father. Our faith in the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God that dwells in each believer, guiding us to live the righteous life that God wills for each one of us. That our faith will increase. That our faith will increase. This is sometimes why your prayers go unanswered sometimes. Because we have a lack of faith. Sometimes people that are lost, people that are prodigals, sometimes they don't have it all clicked together, but they find someone of faith that they believe and know that God answers their prayers and they'll go to that person, even sometimes lost people. May call you and say, will you pray for such and such? Gives you an opportunity to open the door a little more. But they're asking. They're throwing their Hail Mary. at you to pray for them, but they don't realize also that when you pray, God hears you. Do you understand that? Because you're a believer, and when you're living your life and you're living it for the Lord, God hears you. God hears you. When you get before God, make sure you got something to say. And make sure it's not all about you. I don't want to ask this because there's a sense to me that I don't know which way it would go. I might be a little fearful how the answer would be. But when's the last time you asked God of something and He answered that prayer? Because sometimes when we pray, we say, oh yeah, God woke me up this morning. Yeah, well, I'm expected to wake up every morning until the day I die. I get that. That's okay. God give me a life to live and I'm going to live it. Okay. We can say, well, God woke me up this morning. Okay, you can praise Him for that. But we're talking about moving mountains here. We're talking about moving mountains. We're talking about moving mountains. We can't get that building over there. This church doesn't have the money for that. We don't have the expertise to get all those things. But God is making a way. We've been praying about this for a handful of years, just praying for that building. And God is making a way. God's making a way for so many things, it's unbelievable. And all He asks, you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and that's enough for the whole county. That jar is enough for the county, for all the believers in the county. Sounds like we don't even have enough in the jar to do it because we're not exercising. Let me ask you a couple of impossible scenarios, and then I'm going to close. Do you believe that God can do a revival, a citywide revival? Whatever it looks like, I'm just asking. That's to revive the churches. Do you think that God can do an awakening in this church and in this whole city, and 5,000 people come to Christ? Do you believe that God can do? Could you believe that? This is a big one. Do you ever think that God could put 3 full services here? Do you think this church could get to 800 people? I'm seeing some shaking the heads. I'm thinking, I see other ones going, oh, Lord, we don't want that. Because you know what I just heard in my heart? That's too much work. I don't want to sit in 3 services. You don't have to sit in 3, but if you serve, you'll sound people, music people. It's too hard. If you don't believe it and you don't want it, God ain't going to give it to you. Do you believe that God can, that you're the lost individual family member who curses God, uses His name in vain, does all the things that you don't believe in, and maybe even persecute you? Do you believe that individual can come to Jesus? Do you believe the sickest person in your family or the sickest person you know that God can heal that person? Sometimes I wonder if I ask the question, God, forgive me, but I want to ask a question. Why do we not see you move enough? Why do we not see you move very much? I think His answer would be, because you don't believe in me. You stop believing that I can do miracles. Oh, you believe in me. But you stop believing that I can do miracles. I think He really wants to do miracles in our lives. I really think He wants to do some amazing things in our lives so that we can turn around and shout out, thank you, Jesus, and testify and praise His name for it. And folks, this message, we have no one to blame but ourselves if our faith is weak. We have no one else to blame. The church stops growing. Because I believe that the Lord wants all of His churches to be full. I've never seen a waiting line outside of a church. I've seen them at Starbucks. Yeah. The movie theater. There's a big movie coming. I've never seen a waiting line at church. Father, there are so many reasons why we don't believe. And Father, today, with whatever size of faith that each one of us has, may it be increased, even at the cost of testing our faith. And I pray your Spirit has free roaming and movement today in the hearts of all of our people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.